Back with another Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast, a review of what we got done on our morning show.
Sure.
You can hear that every morning on Planet 93.9. You got it on your radio, or if your radio doesn't pick it up, you can always stream it online.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Right? We're glad you're here for this, though. This is the best of the top five things that happen on the show. And we'll begin with this one here.
How about number one?
Number one.
Number one.
People at Netflix are very excited about a new innovation. Thank you, Netflix. There's the thumbs up button for stuff that you like.
Uh-huh.
Now they're adding a two thumbs up button. So you, this will be for things that you really like. There's a thumbs up and a thumbs down already. And that helps Netflix understand what you like. But two thumbs up...
What sort of fickle monster you are.
Two thumbs up allows you to indicate something that you really, really like. This has been apparently something that fans of Netflix have been requesting forever. Director of Product Innovation and Personalization Experiences at Netflix says here, members have never had as many great entertainment options as they have right now. Being able to find the shows and movies that you're going to love is really important. We want to continue to make Netflix the place where it's the easiest to choose something to watch.
Would it ever occur to you that it needed two thumbs?
Never in a million years.
Of course not.
But I don't have the job.
But people are clamoring for that. The general public. This is what you're concerning yourself with.
So it used to, not that long ago, like 5 years ago, you used to be able to rate things 1 out of 5 stars.
All right.
But I guess that was too much work for people.
Well,
so they got
They
got rid of the 5-star rating system for thumbs up and thumbs down. Did you like it? Did
pass
you
not or fail?
It? Right. Users didn't feel that indicating which titles they liked and disliked was sufficient, and this new 2-thumbs-up button should help subscribers better navigate the library of shows and movies.
But no 2 thumbs down.
That's interesting, too. Yeah, I imagine this is how that went. Whoever came up with 2 thumbs up is like, let's not roll that out right away. I need something to turn in later on in the year for an idea.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
This is another project I've been working on.
All right. All year long, you've been working on something. Can you tell us what it is you've been working on? Hang on to your hats.
You said...
Last year, we gave people 2 thumbs up. This year...
Uh-huh.
For 20,
wait for it.
For 23...
Wait for it.
2 thumbs down.
And I'm out of here.
And if anyone needs me, I'll be at my vacation villa in Jackson Hole.
Now, I know I said I'd have this ready a year ago, but hey...
Later, losers. So there's a top 10 row that they introduced back in 2020. And then last year they launched something called the Play Something feature. And there was the ability to continue watching now on all devices. These are the latest innovations. They say they hope to end what they call choice fatigue with new features that they'll be adding this year. There's so much to choose from. I'm tired. I'm tired from all the TV. They say it's a huge part of where we want to invest, providing those mechanisms to give more control back to the user to help tailor their experience to their personal taste. You'll find the new 2 thumbs up button next to the thumbs up and thumbs down buttons on the Netflix app beginning today. I'm also going to predict that before the end of this week, with this addition of the 2 thumbs up button, the estate of Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel are going to be notified. Because 2 thumbs up, when you say that, doesn't that instantly call to mind at the movies or sneak previews with Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert?
Back in the day.
2 thumbs up is, I wonder if they have some sort of copyright on that. They should, right? I mean, I get that they didn't understand, they didn't invent the idea of thumbs up or thumbs down. That's something from what, like the Roman Empire. But 2 thumbs up, I don't know, man. If I was the Ebert estate, I'm making a couple of phone calls today, seeing how much of that Netflix money we can get.
They're both gone, right?
Oh, yeah.
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 Roger Ebert, born on the exact same day as Paul McCartney.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, Gene Siskel's been dead for more than 20 years, almost 25. What I'm telling you, though, is there are still people that take care of Siskel and Ebert stuff.
Yeah, there are still Siskels and Eberts.
Right. Well, I keep reading reviews from RogerEbert.com, and every time I see that, it freaks me out. Like, the guy's been dead for a while. Clearly, he hasn't seen Morbius. Why am I reading a review from RogerEbert.com?
But he's turned into, like, a Dear Abby thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, they have a website where they do movie reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, how could we know what Roger Ebert would like or not like? Did he leave instructions like this? If it's got this in a movie, then
well,
go ahead and
you know
say it's
what
good.
They could. I'm sure they probably could take his reviews and his movies and develop an algorithm mm-hmm. that would say this is what Roger would have thought. That's doable.
Gosh, I wonder, because towards the end of his life, his voice was a computer voice. I wonder if they somehow put his consciousness into the machine.
Take a look at the movies and take a look at the reviews, and you'd be able to figure that out.
Okay, Ebert's signature phrase, two thumbs up, was his intellectual property. So he has he had that as his intellectual property. When he died, Roger Ebert died after struggling with cancer for many years. His signature phrase, two thumbs up, was his intellectual property, and his estate owns that trademark.
Well, there you go.
I'm telling you, this is a story coming later on this week that the people at the Ebert estate are going to say, not so fast,
yeah, but right,
Netflix.
But right now, just let him commit to it.
Right, let him put it out there.
And then we pounce.
Oh, yeah. No, It's a good week to be somebody in charge of the Roger Ebert estate.
Just let it breathe.
Uh-huh.
And then,
when Ebert teamed up with Gene Siskel on their long-running TV show, they became known for giving films a thumb up or thumb down rating. If both critics agreed that a movie was worth seeing, they would give it two thumbs up.
Now they were
a phrase they created.
They were from rival newspapers, right?
Right. Gene Siskel worked for the Chicago Tribune, and Roger Ebert worked for the Chicago Sun-Times.
Gotcha.
Couldn't stand one another.
I was going to ask. They were not friends.
No. I mean, I think towards the end of
just
Siskel's
a working life, relationship.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it's a fascinating. I think it would be a good movie, to be honest.
Yeah.
Two guys that cannot stand each other, that work for rival papers. And if you ever get a chance, go down the rabbit hole on YouTube of when those two, you could tell, just despise each other on the show. They both had ownership. Siskel and Ebert both had ownership of saying two thumbs up. So it's controlled by their respective estates. But it says here that the hope is here that they designated a trustworthy person to carefully manage their intellectual property. I'm sure somebody said after Gene died to Roger, this would be a good idea
now,
for you to make sure that you do the paperwork
on this. With all the movies
that
they reviewed,
uh-huh.
Roger Ebert only wrote one movie script, right?
He did.
Return to the Valley of the Dolls?
He
is that
did.
What it was?
He did.
And what was Gene's review of that movie?
I don't think he gave it a good review.
I don't think Roger did either. Boy, this is more difficult than I thought. I really shouldn't be so critical.
Number two. You ever been to Lyons Township, Illinois?
Maybe.
It's a suburb. There in Cook County, suburb
in
of,
what cities are
of
in,
Chicago.
What cities are there?
Like near Lyons?
Yes.
I mean, it's like west, straight west.
So I probably have.
Yeah, maybe you've driven through it. I'm trying to think what the neighboring towns were. Like Berwyn. It's next to like Berwyn.
Okay.
Berwyn. Thank you. I'm trying to think who would be famous out of Lyons Township. It's not a big suburb. Population for the last census was just under 11,000. So it's one of the smaller suburbs, right? I bring it up because a hoarder has been arrested 1 year after mom and sister were found buried in the backyard.
Mm.
Michael Lecco, 45 years old, charged with two felony counts of concealment of a death. 1 year after investigators found the remains of his mom, who was 79-year-old Jean Lecco.
So they find mom and the sister in the backyard dead,
mm-hmm.
and it takes him a year to figure it out?
Well, he's not being charged in the deaths because the cause of death was indeterminable.
Well, that's convenient.
The remains of 79-year-old mother Jean Lecco and 44-year-old sister Jennifer Lecco were found in the backyard sealed inside Christmas decoration storage containers.
Hmm.
His younger brother John, who lived with him, was allegedly aware of the bodies. He's not getting charged at all. You've got your mom and your sister dead in Christmas decoration storage containers in the backyard. And you know that that's going on, and you don't say anything, and you're not in any trouble.
That typically doesn't just happen.
Both men under federal investigation accused of continuing to cash mom's Social Security checks of around $1,000 a month in the 6 years since she died. Police believe that's the reason the death went unreported. The grim discovery was made at the home there in Lyons when officers performed a welfare check after it was determined that there was no running water at the house. The police chief there in Lyons is Thomas Harrion. He described the conditions in the house as not compatible to living.
Right.
He said officers found hundreds of bottles of urine and feces inside the home, and that the brothers had to use windows to climb in and out of the house.
Oh boy.
Brutal, the police chief says. Absolutely brutal. Alongside all of the filth were brand new unopened Star Wars toys piled high to the ceiling.
Say no more. Natch.
What?
Oh, no. Alongside all the filth were brand new unopened Star Wars toys piled high to the ceiling.
Yep.
Some figures worth as much as $250.
Mm-hmm.
In the backyard, police found the two women bent over and folded in half, taped inside separate 2-foot-long, 18-inch-high tubs. Though the deterioration of the remains was tremendous, the police chief said whoever taped up the boxes had done an advanced job, so no animals or even groundwater had managed to get inside over the years. The chief says that during interviews, Michael told them that he and his brother returned from a trip to a store in 2015. I'm trying to think, what line of toys would have been out that year?
Uh-huh.
They had returned from a trip to the store in 2015. Their mother had told them that her daughter had pushed her down the stairs. She died 10 days later. He said his sister then died in 2019 after contracting COVID. Who was dying of COVID in 2019? I'm not a detective, but that doesn't add up. The medical examiner unable to determine a cause of death. If the mother and the sister were suffocated, they can't tell that. If they were stabbed, if a knife was used to stab them and it went in between the ribs, there's no damage to the bone. There's no way to determine any of it. Mm. Even in some drug situations, if they were drugged, the police chief says, we're unable to determine that. If you really cannot determine if these individuals died of natural causes or did not, that definitely causes some concern. The mother's skull did show evidence of a fracture. The police chief said he found Michael's volunteering of the stairs pushing incident a little suspicious. He's also skeptical of the COVID excuse, as Illinois did not report its first coronavirus death until March of 2020. Police chief says, drawing your own conclusions is always nice, but going by the facts, that's where we stand today. Now, the younger brother is not facing any concealment charges because, as it turns out, knowledge of an unreported death alone is not a crime. You would have to actively participate in the concealment, like helping to tape up the tubs or carry them around. And since there's no proof that that happened, there's no charges. He could be looking at the younger brother obstruction charges because he initially told police that his mother and sister were alive but living somewhere else, and then hours later switched stories. Michael was released from custody until his May 5th court hearing on the concealment charges. Wow. Well, I wonder what happens to all those Star Wars toys.
I bet you do.
I don't want them. I bet they're going to smell like feces and urine.
I bet you do.
Say no more.
Number three.
You ready for today's Florida story?
Florida.
David Stover is a 57-year-old man who was arrested on Monday at a Wendy's in Bunnell, Florida. And the reason he was arrested, he was impersonating a Drug Enforcement Agency agent there at the Wendy's in order to get a discount on his order.
Do you guys offer the discount?
I'm a DEA agent, and I'm here for a Baconator at the standard DEA discount, please.
I understand I can get the large chili for the price of a small one.
I'm out there keeping the streets safe from heroin and cocaine, and all I ask in return is a little bit of a price decrease on my French fries and my Frosty. And yes, I will be dipping them. That's not illegal.
Free Frosty? I was supposed to say free Frosty.
Police say they were called to this Wendy's because a customer was arguing with the staff. Officers say that David Stover, 57 years old, was demanding a law enforcement discount and started threatening to report staff to corporate for not giving it to him. That's not how anything works.
Do you want me to go all the way up to Wendy? I'll do it. I'm calling Wendy right now.
I demand satisfaction.
According to police, Stover was a regular at that Wendy's for the past 2 years. Workers say he used to get a discount at the restaurant because he had a friend who was a cashier there. But once that worker left their job, Stover then started claiming he was a law enforcement officer.
You can get a friend discount?
That's not a thing. If your friend works at Wendy's, you get a deal? That's theft is what that is.
It sounds like stealing.
Yeah, that's what that is. You know, it's funny. He never mentioned he was a drug enforcement agent before.
I don't doubt that if you're an employee that you get a break. Mm-hmm. I don't think you get to pass that along to whoever you want.
No, I can tell you, you don't.
Yes, you would know.
That doesn't make any sense.
What kind of break did you use to get on the Little Caesars pizzas?
Well, the break was we would accidentally make the wrong pizza. And then it would be, I guess I put the wrong toppings on this one. Well, I guess I could eat it. That's how that game got played.
Oh, I contaminated this one with one single slice of pepperoni.
Oops.
What a knucklehead.
The manager at the store told investigators that Stover would often tell workers he was an undercover DEA agent, and he would occasionally flash a badge when asked for proof. He's saying that he never claimed to be a DEA agent. However, he did admit to carrying a concealed carry permit badge.
I am an undercover angel. And sometimes angel of the morning. I understand you serve breakfast now.
That's not a thing. I'm here for my deal, if you please. I'm deep, deep undercover, but I'm willing to reveal my identity here at the Wendy's. Stover was released from the county jail after posting $2,500 bond.
Oh, see, that would have bought a lot of sandwiches.
I guess the discount, the cops say that they do get a discount at the Wendy's. I don't know if this is a corporate policy or if it's just that franchise. The discount is 50%.
Ooh.
He requested the discount on Monday, but the manager said, no, you're not getting the discount. Where's your ID? And that's when he pulled out the badge and said, there you go.
You're not a real police officer.
Drug agent. The manager asked if he was a police officer and why he was so argumentative about showing a badge. Stover then said he was not a police officer. He worked for the DEA. And when the manager asked to see the badge again, Stover said he didn't have to show it to her. Then became argumentative and defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine you're getting arrested for trying to steal, and the way you're doing it is pretending you're a cop, and then the cops show up?
Yeah, I wouldn't think they take kindly to that.
No! No! What are you here trying to do?
You're saying
they'd be less mad if you just tried to rob the place.
Right, you're saying you're one of us?
What?
I don't think so.
Stover said that he used to be a police officer a while back, but he'd been fired due to being an alcoholic. The badge that they found was a similar to a law enforcement style badge and could easily be confused with one by someone who's unfamiliar with police badges, according to this affidavit. He told police that he works flipping homes and he was a former DEA agent. Boy, this guy's got a lot of stories.
I'm going to stick to the story.
He'd been witnessed on several occasions flashing a gold badge and telling workers that he doesn't wear a typical law enforcement uniform because he works deep, deep undercover for the Drug Enforcement Agency.
I'm Serpico.
Yeah.
Number four.
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 There's a new Star Trek show that's coming out next month. It'll be on Paramount Plus. It's called Strange New Worlds, and this will be Star Trek on the USS Enterprise, but before Captain Kirk's in charge of it. There was another guy that was in charge of the Enterprise before Kirk. And they cover that in the original series.
And Spock was there?
Yeah, Spock was there.
Spock was already there.
Right. So Spock will be on this show, played by a different actor, obviously. And it's the adventures of, is it Pike, I think is the guy's name? They wheel him out because he was, when they did the pilot for Star Trek back in the 60s, and then they didn't use it. But then they ended up reusing the footage for an episode, and they wheel him out like he's somehow been damaged. I don't know. But this new Star Trek will be about that guy and Captain Kirk or Mr. Spock and a bunch of other people running around in the USS Enterprise.
Now, do you remember the episode that had Abraham Lincoln in it?
Of Star Trek?
Yeah.
No.
Uh-huh.
What was the premise? They go back in time and talk to Lincoln?
I think that, yeah, they were like just big fans.
So they just are bothering him?
It's like, what would Abraham Lincoln do?
Let's go visit.
This is one hell of a pickle we're in. Let's do a little time traveling and see what Abraham Lincoln thinks.
Darren, you're referring to an episode called The Savage Curtain.
Uh-huh.
In the episode, aliens force Captain Kirk and First Officer Spock to join forces with beings who appear to be Abraham Lincoln and Surak, who is some sort of Vulcan person, to battle villains in a contest between good and evil. I don't remember this.
Oh, yeah. Get Abe involved.
Abe Lincoln is helping them battle
Martians.
So
you're trying to tell me that it's a fake Abe Lincoln?
Well, I mean, it's... They're beings who appear to be Abraham Lincoln. So, I don't remember the episode. It can't really be him. They don't go back in time, right? This has been ranked the 12th worst episode of Star Trek.
Oh, I don't think that's fair.
Recently, it was named the 9th worst episode.
Does that mean it's more worse?
The costume that was created for one of the characters on this episode was recycled and would later become Mork from Ork's red spacesuit. Wow, how cheap is that? We'll just use something we had on Star Trek. Just give it to Mork from Ork.
That is serious trivia there.
Yeah, yeah. I had no idea. I gotta see if I can look this episode up of Star Trek, the original series. Here's the thing, though. Like, I just referred to him as first science officer Spock, right? His name is Mr. Spock, which means Spock's his last name, right?
I think so.
So what's Spock's first name? We haven't known until now. They just put these posters out for Star Trek Strange New Worlds. They revealed these in the Mission Chicago Star Trek convention.
I guess it could be his first name.
And two characters have first names. There is some character, Dr. Jablio Mbenga, and Spock with his first name. It's Sichin Tagai Spock.
Yeah, Vulcan.
Sichin Tagai Spock. Lieutenant Commander Sichin Tagai Spock. So Sichin Tagai is Spock's first name. I have a lot of questions here. A lot.
Weightlessness. Oh, Jesus.
Unfortunately, I don't think I have the answers.
Well, don't his parents call him Spock? That would be
in
like...
In which episode?
In all the episodes. Whenever...
When do his parents show up?
Oh, his parents are on all the time. His mom is the mom from Father Knows Best. The dad's name is Sarek. I know that. He shows up all the time. And I'm only a casual Star Trek fan. I know the dad's name. I don't remember the mom's name. But I can tell you it's the mom from Father Knows Best.
And what's he do? What's the father do when he shows up? Like, you forgot your lunch again, Spock.
Yeah, no, the dad's always like, ugh. You'd forget your head if it wasn't screwed on. Ugh. Am I wrong about that? That the mom was, the Spock's mom was from Father Knows Best. But they always called him Spock, and they had different names. You know who else was Spock's mom? Winona Ryder. In one of the movies.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, Jane Wyatt played Spock's mom. She was also the mother, Margaret Anderson, on Father Knows Best. There you go. Mm-hmm. So she was space mom for Spock, but she called him Spock, which would be like your parents calling you Pitra. But then they would have different names. I don't understand how things work in outer space, apparently.
Seems like they're taking a lot of liberties.
Yeah. Just...
Doesn't have to make sense in space.
Yeah, I guess that's how that works. Now there are people saying that this can't be Spock's name because in an earlier continuity, they gave him a different first name. What is likely to be controversial development for classic Star Trek fans, Ethan Peck will be continuing his time in the pointed ears as Lieutenant Commander Sichin Tagai Spock. Sichin Tagai sounds like a drunk is calling you over to talk to him at the bar. Hey, Sichin Tagai. And someone pointing out here that he's only half Vulcan. Okay, I guess I forgot about that. Is the mom human and the dad is well, yeah, okay. So Father Knows Best mom is not Vulcan.
Someone's got to be something.
Yeah, I think his mom was human, and then that's a whole thing. Because they're all kind of bigoted towards him because he's only half Vulcan. So the Vulcans are all like just super space racist against Spock.
Someone was very adventurous sexually.
Can you imagine?
Willing to take out a Vulcan?
Well, that seems weird.
Uh-huh. I was into some things.
I don't know. This guy with pointy ears landed in the backyard, and I was like,
I don't know. I just climbed on top.
Honestly, I didn't notice the ears until well afterwards. Like, wait a minute. Something about you.
I used them to hang on. came in pretty handy, really. Gave me a lot of leverage.
Frankly, I was grabbing on so tight. I thought I molded them to look that way.
I thought I had caused them.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm sorry. I crushed your ears.
Oh, no. I really did a number on the cartilage in your ears.
Oh,
there.
I'm sorry.
No, I am Vulcan. This is how my people look.
What's that?
The what now? This makes a lick of sense. Sitchintagai Spock. That's his name. Mr. Spock. Not Dr. Spock. Dr. Spock is a human that writes about human babies.
Did.
Dr. Spock is a fictional character. Or no, Mr. Spock.
Dr. Spock, you think you got all the answers.
There's an episode, I guess, in season one of the original series where somebody asks Spock what his first name is, uh-huh. And he says it's unpronounceable.
Mm.
Okay, but
I even struggle with it.
Sitchintagai Spock. Well, there it is. That mystery has finally been weighed over.
Rumor has it your mom had quite an appetite back in the day.
Yeah, we knew, all of us outer space people knew, if you just landed in that backyard, uh-huh. She'd show you a good time. Welcome to Earth.
Very welcoming.
Almost uncomfortably affectionate, right? Right from the jump.
Like from the start.
Someone's suggesting here that they always thought his first name was Terry.
That makes sense.
Terry Spock.
Sure.
Hello. I'm Terry.
Is that short for Terrence? No.
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 No, just... Someone else saying here the reason they never gave Spock a first name before was because he thought it'd be confusing. Spock's real full name is James T. Spock.
Number five.
Getting along with roommates can be difficult. Sometimes there's misunderstandings, disagreements. Although I'll say everyone I've ever lived with, I've gotten along with famously. It's just famous people I don't get along with. I don't get along famously with famous people. It's weird. This story from Texas, a guy is arrested for viciously beating his roommate with a stick. This was an argument that they had.
Just like a stick that he went outside and got?
Go get a stick.
I'm going to go get a stick.
Nice stick, buddy. Beat his roommate savagely with a stick. They were having an argument at 2:45 in the morning. And the argument was, what does a mosquito look like? Victor Simone Shavers charged with aggravated assault after an argument with a roommate turned physical. It was a late night argument over what does a mosquito look like. Now Victor is facing a charge of aggravated assault. He's in the Dallas County Jail following a bloody scuffle. Victor Shavers and his roommate were both beaten and bloodied when the Dallas police arrived at their house on Sunday. The roommate, whose face was still bloodied from the fight, claimed that Shavers grabbed a stick from behind his bed and started hitting him on the head with it.
This is my bed stick.
Oh, not old Hector. Started hitting him on the head with a stick. He says Shavers hit him at least 6 times. Can you guess how many times he hit you? Oh, I don't know. 6 maybe? Oh, stop! That's the bed stick!
This is what they call an attention getter.
The roommate whose face was still bloody said he got hit 6 times in the head. He then grabbed a metal bat from his closet and struck Shavers multiple times in the head.
Yeah, this is escalating.
Again, the argument is about what does a mosquito look like? Police found Shavers sitting on the bed with blood on his head and in his hand. They were both injured in the fight. The roommate had deep cuts on his left cheek and the side of his head, which required multiple stitches. Shavers had a cut on the back of his head and possibly a broken hand.
How long does it take to Google an image of a mosquito?
or it's Texas. Just go outside for a minute. Right? They... No. A mosquito has long legs and pink feathers. You're thinking of a flamingo. The hell I am! That's what a mosquito looks like! Shavers admitted to hitting his roommate first. He was taken into custody and charged with aggravated assault. He's in the Dallas County Jail on $28,000 bond. Also being held on a misdemeanor count of family violence assault stemming from an incident that happened back in June. Arguing over what a mosquito looks like. You're right. Like, that should be something that you could just quickly do a Google search on.
Let's agree that this is what we're talking about.
No. Not that mosquito. This mosquito.
Irving.
No, that's not what a mosquito looks like. These two are roommates, and they share a bedroom. And they began arguing.
Like bunk beds?
I think it's like a Bert and Ernie situation. I think they each have their own bed in the bedroom. When they began arguing over what mosquitoes look like. Is that a deal where it's like, hey, are you up? Hey.
You mean they've got an arrangement like the Petries on the Dick Van Dyke show?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Share a nightstand?
Yeah.
Good night.
I keep this stick by my bed just in case my roommate gets any ideas.
Sweet dreams.
Hey, psst. Hey, quick question. Mosquitoes are the ones that, with the long beaks, right?
What'd you just say?
Hey, sorry to wake you up. Hey, mosquitoes have like tusks and trunks, right? That's what a mosquito looks like, right? No, man, that's an elephant. What'd you say to me? Both men treated for their injuries at the hospital. So that's, at some point they're going to have to figure this out because somebody... I don't imagine you can be roommates after something like this, right?
I think we can. This
we're willing to give it another chance.
This just makes us stronger.
It's brought us together as roommates. Did you see Miley Cyrus's parents have decided they're going to get divorced? And this is the third time.
I didn't know they were together.
Yeah.
And she's going to have a baby.
Miley Cyrus?
Oh, not Miley Cyrus. I'm sorry. Britney Spears. Isn't Britney like 50?
She's 40.
Okay. Split hairs.
Miley Cyrus's parents now for the third time trying to get a divorce.
It just won't take, huh?
Billy Ray filed for divorce back in 2010.
Boy, he was a big fan of Amazing Larry.
He sure was.
Still.
Just because he doesn't love his wife doesn't mean he doesn't love Amazing Larry.
It's true.
There are some commitments that are made forever.
Hey, this is Billy Ray Cyrus, and you're listening to Amazing Larry.
I love it when Larry does his bits. Miley Cyrus's dad, Billy Ray Cyrus, huge fan of the Pride and Joy of Cambridge, Illinois. And at first I thought that was shocking, and then I realized, no, that makes as much sense as anything else.
Makes all the sense in the world. What are you talking about?
Billy Ray Cyrus filed for divorce in 2010, citing irreconcilable differences, but then they were able to reconcile those irreconcilable differences.
Never mind.
They halted their proceedings a few months later. That was in 2010. Then in 2013, Tish Cyrus did the filing, but called off the divorce the following month after they started going to couples counseling. Billy Ray is 60, Tish is 54. They've been married for more than 28 years, but they haven't lived together for more than 2 years, according to the divorce petition that was filed in Tennessee last week. They have a total of 5 children together, including 29-year-old Miley Cyrus. The youngest is a 22-year-old daughter named Noah. Well, that's a shame. I just want what's best for all the Cyruses.
For all of us, really.
For all of our sakes. And Britney Spears, she said she's pregnant on Instagram, right?
Oh, I don't know where it was reported.
Yeah, she did an Instagram post that said she's pregnant. In her Instagram post, apparently she's put on some weight, and her new husband told her that she was food pregnant.
What the hell does that mean? I'm going to give birth to a watermelon? Swallowed a few seeds?
Her new partner.
They're going to take the watermelon cesarean.
It's a Caesar salad. I'm going to give birth to a Caesar salad.
It's the damnedest thing.
I delivered a Caesar salad via cesarean section. Well, that's a good warm-up exercise next time I need to limber up my mouth. Spears said that her boyfriend told her she was food pregnant after recent weight gain, but she says here, got a pregnancy test, and, well, I'm having a baby.
Take that!
Mm-hmm. She says she won't be going out as much because she doesn't want to be targeted by the paparazzi. Quote, it's hard because when I was pregnant and I had perinatal depression, this time I'll be doing yoga every day.
Mm.
Well, that's great. That's great news.
Everybody hide the umbrellas. Lock your doors.
What kind of thing is that to say to somebody?
Huh?
Telling a woman she's put on some pounds so she's food pregnant.
I don't even know what that means.
It's not how you should
talk. It's like daddy calls it sugar muscle.
You're with Britney Spears and you're cracking jokes like, hey, tubby, what are you, food pregnant? No, she's pregnant, so. Congratulations.
Hey, Fats Domino Pizza.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's Dave and Darren's top five things. Thanks so much for listening, downloading, and subscribing. We'll have another one for you soon.
Very good.
Until then, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop.
East Moline,
yeah, they keeping it hot.
Hasta la vista, suckers.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.